Hello, everyone. It's James Steensma, and welcome to the third episode of The Art of Letting Go. The show was designed to give you kind of an insider's view at addiction, but also on how we let go of the things that we may not have any control of. So let's do that today. Let's flip the script and take a look at how we, together, might make ourselves more open, more vulnerable, be more aware of our own mental status as we look forward to the art of letting go. Let's begin. Okay, here's the reality. I don't really know you. I mean, I hope that we've met sometime in the last 49 years, and I really hope that we had a great experience together. But I don't know the things that make you tick, the things that bring you joy, the things that bring you sorrow, or a smile on your face or a tear to your eye. I don't know you. And ultimately, you don't know me outside of what I choose to share with you. So there's a trust there. So how can I flip the script and take time to wonder or care about what your needs might be? Well, it's because as human beings, we share at least two, definitely two experiences. And that is that we are born, and one day we will die. And it's those in-between moments, the ebbs and the flows, the ups, the downs, the comings and the goings, the beginnings and the ends, that really matter. Even though I know I don't share those experiences with you, it's the relationship that comes from that living and that dying that ultimately matters most. And in thinking about that, where does healthy begin? And where does healthy stop? And if we have a limited amount of time on Earth, will we spend that time worrying about those things that bog us down? Or will we invest time in trying to let it go? Let's break some of that down right now. So I was filling out a list just a couple days ago, actually, on music. And the question being posed to introduce the list was, what 20 songs would you want played at your funeral? I knew immediately the very first song I would want played. And it ties in pretty doggone well with the theme of today. The song is called Sand and Water, and it's by an artist by the name of Beth Nielsen Chapman. But it's a particular lyric inside the song, which is gorgeous and deserves to be played at every funeral, I think. But there's a particular lyric that the lyricist wrote that sticks in my head every time I think about life and death, particularly death. And I find the lyric to be rather simple, but man, it is so beautiful. I will say my wife completely disagrees with me and thinks it's morbid. I guess that's the beauty of lyric and song, is that we can all interpret what we want. But the lyric is, all alone I come into this world, and all alone I will someday die. Solid stone is just sand and water in a million years gone by. And it raises the question, is that all we should expect from our lives? Is that dust to dust, sand and water? Is that how we should perceive things? If that's all the hope we have, if you are not a believer, if that's all the hope that you have, how do I mold a life that's worthy of any type of legacy? If I am a believer, is that my purpose? is to have lived life so well that when the end comes, it's okay that I'm reduced to sand and water or ash. I don't know. You know, I think the beauty in considering those questions is that we all consider those questions. We all have to be faced with our own mortality at some point. I don't have to go any further than looking at social media, Facebook, to see the pain in the world right now, to see the pain that in a year with so much pain, 2020, I mean, it's becoming its own class of pain. What kind of pain do you have on a scale of 1 to 10? It's 2020. I mean, that should just answer it right there. Give me what you got, doctor. 2020 has been the most painful year for so many of us. And for many of us also, we have heard of incredible highs and joys unlike any year could possibly bring us. But as I look on social media and I look on Facebook, and even tonight as I prepared to record this podcast, I see so many people I know struggling in the face of somebody they loved becoming ill or dying. It's the great common denominator. We all are born and we all die. God, that is such a tough conversation, isn't it? Because so much happens in that ebb and flow of life, from that moment that we're born, from that moment we take our first breath, until that moment we take our last breath. How blessed are we that we had that opportunity? What are the lessons that we learned? What are the lessons we imparted? Those are the things that I think make us one. Those are the concepts and the beliefs, the structures, the important parts of our lives. Nothing else really matters. As a father, if I know that I've raised my children to love the Lord, to love their parents, to love whomever it is that they decided to love in their life, and again, know that love isn't necessarily a sexual thing, hence emotional addiction, but that if I know that I've taught my children the idea of love, if I loved my wife the right way, if I loved my friends the right way, well, what other legacy do I need to leave? We had the privilege of attending a celebration of life service for a very dear friend. And it was a very short friendship, actually. All things told, I've been blessed to have most of the most important relationships in my life last as long as 35 or 40 years. And at 49, my goodness, how lucky am I? Now, honestly, a lot of those relationships take work. Nothing comes as naturally as it should, because life, am I right? So this relationship was about 5 years long, and it started in the face of my liver transplant, and then 2 months later, her liver transplant. And that's how we met, was through each of us getting a donor liver. I had received my ileostomy in 2012. She received hers just a few months ago. But, and hers was a colostomy, I guess I should be specific. But again, it was a way to bind us together. And I will at some point, I'll tell you the story of my liver transplant, but I think what's beautiful about this particular story isn't that it ended in death or the inevitability of it or the speed at which death came. Now, the story for me was, though I spoke with her often, not a lot, but often, there was so much about her I didn't know, because I only knew one element of her life. How about you? How many of the people you call friends are really your friends because they fit into a certain category? I loved her stories. I loved getting to know her husband. I loved knowing that there was a mutual relationship with her daughter-in-law and son here locally. I loved that because I love people. But I only knew the sick part of her. You know what I mean? I only knew the parts of her that I related to. Because in that living and dying part, we all have relationships that we specifically seek out because they fill a void in our lives. And because my wife, my family, my other friends could not possibly have understood the same experiences I've gone through, seeking out and finding somebody who had was a godsend. I would contend it was a God thing. But she died. She was not the closest person to me to die. It seems as though the older we get, death seems to visit us a little bit more often. And it's a bitch. And it's awkward. And we never know the right things to say. I always feel like I'm one of those two farmers standing in the picture. Maybe you've seen it where they're two little boys, but they've been staring at each other. And one says to the other, "You been farming long?" You know that picture. That's how I feel when I attend viewings or I attend funerals or dinners or luncheons in memory of somebody or a celebration of life. There's only so much you can say. I am sorry. And I don't need to necessarily ask you all the time why somebody has died, because if I really truly knew them, I already know. So I kind of stand there and say, yeah, yeah. Man, I'm so sorry. Because I can be. I can be empathetic. I can be sympathetic. We've all experienced the idea of death. The reality of death. It's something that most of us, at least, have had to deal with. And so we know how to be empathetic. That's our human condition. But how do we keep showing up day after day, knowing that ultimately this is our reality? That there's going to be somebody there when we pass who says, man, I'm sorry. Seemed like a good guy. She was a great woman. It confuses and confounds me. I honestly do not try to think about it, but I can tell you this. Maybe you've experienced this enough to know that when you have received a second opportunity at life, and for some of us, it's third and fourth, you live your life differently. You don't live it with reckless abandon. But that sounds wonderful. You live it more calculated. Here's what I heard at my friend's celebration of life today. And I'm not one to stand up in a church and shout, Amen, Hallelujah, but I almost did. It's about as close as I've ever come, because when the pastor said that instead of, when it comes to our time together, instead of spending it together, instead of spending our days, we should be investing our days. Follow that. Instead of spending our days and spending our time and spending our moments, we should be investing in our time. We should always make sure that we tell the people who matter most in those moments how much they matter. We should never, and way too many of us do, but we should never let a moment go by when we don't tell those we love how much we love them. I certainly did with my friend. It was the very last thing I said to her. All right, I take that back. The very last thing I said to her was, I'll keep living my life because she asked me to. She said, you keep living life. And I knew when she said that, that she was kind of leaving out this added little bit, this little nugget. You keep living your life and experience the things I never could. Or maybe it was, you keep living life because I cannot. I don't know. Maybe it was the charge that she gave everybody she visited with, but I had the opportunity to visit with her twice in her last final weeks before passing. It certainly, it was not the first time that death seemed so close. But after making the mistake of not visiting with my dearest friend upon his passing or before his passing, that I wanted to stay out of the way instead of being at his side. Or my grandmother, who was days away from her 100th birthday, and after being told that she probably wouldn't make it all the way, that maybe we might consider coming to visit one last time. I still made plans too late to do so. And in all honesty, that's what I have a hard time letting go of. The missed opportunities to say goodbye. I think that is a common human experience. People are put in our lives for such a short period of time that when we miss the opportunity to tell them how much we love them, how much they matter, sometimes we are stuck with that guilt endlessly. How do we let that go? How do you let that go? I recently was talking to a friend who had lost a cousin in a car accident. And he was saying that one of the very last things that he did with his cousin was fight. I can think of many times when I've let somebody end a conversation with me where we were not on good terms, where we fought, or we didn't say goodnight the way that we would typically, or goodbye the way we would typically, that we would use harsh words, I recently had a fight with my adult brothers. And I wasn't in the car driving, I was a passenger. They could have kicked me out at any time. But that night, before we all went to bed, we were on a fishing trip together. We all said, I love you. Because I think, first of all, not only is that our humanness, but it's a very adult thing to do. And it's something that we can even teach our children to do at a very young age. But when it comes to this idea of the living and the dying, those moments we share in between, if ultimately we know that there is a finite end to our journey here, why can't we all just let stuff roll off our back? I know people like this. Don't you? Where it just seems like it doesn't matter what the issue of the day is. They just let it roll right off their back like water. Fascinating. I'd like them to bottle that up and sell it. Why is it that you are straddled with the same guilt that you've been carrying around for years? Why can't you let those go? Why can't the behaviors of me as a 10-year-old finally be loosed as a 49-year-old? Why do we carry these things around with us? Again, in the art of letting go, we need to first forgive ourselves. I know that I haven't. For the pains that I've caused other people, maybe that's a good place to start. I would hope that the people that maybe over the years that I have hurt, never deliberately, but I would hope that they would understand. But as life does, sometimes moments and even experiences grow on us so fast that before you know it, it's 30 years, 40 years later, and you still haven't forgiven yourself. You still are harboring bad thoughts that someone has done something bad to you or that you did to someone else. Time has such an effect on us. And sometimes it takes a particular reoccurrence or a particular episode to remind us of the pains of the past. Because our brain also has a funny way of doing that. I don't really have some sage advice. Again, the whole idea behind this podcast was kind of put my stuff out there and see if it connects. But I do feel like having lived through loss over the last few years especially, I rarely get emotional about it anymore. Not in the way that sometimes I would wish I would, but I think I have come to view so much of that outside of perhaps my best friend. Bill, by the way, was his name. In his passing, I learned that there was so much I never said that should have been said, that I still carry with me, that I say to him, in quotes, the spiritual Bill, if you will, just so he knows. I find myself mad at him sometimes. But outside of him, even with my own grandparents, I did not cry at their funerals, because I really believe in the idea that joy comes in the morning. That we find ourselves in such a place of pain and anguish that maybe we are so speechless because we are seeking joy. I don't actually believe any of us go out of our way to seek pain. And if I'm seeking joy, then everything else is a momentary lapse of understanding, or I don't really know how to explain that otherwise. If joy is the goal, if joy is my outcome, then death is not going to disturb that. A bad experience is not going to disturb that. I will find that joy as soon as I learn how to let it go. That's the idea that trips up so many of us, is that we're not allowed to move on until we've resolved it. Until we've resolved the forgetting to say I love you. Until we've resolved the forgetting to say goodbye. Never letting someone go to bed mad. I cannot control those things. I can control my part of it, but I cannot control the actions of someone else. Here's what I can control: my living and my dying. Now, I truly believe all my days are numbered. I think I've said this before. I believe that was destined long before I took my first breath. But in those days is the living. And if I spend all of my time worrying about the dying, if I spend all of my time worrying about what day I may be called, then I will never understand the presence of joy. You will never understand it. How many of you, with a show of hands, maybe privately in your vehicle, are anxious? How many of you suffer from anxiety, from depressive states? Yeah, me too. I don't mind admitting that I need help with that. Anxiousness has enveloped me for decades. Some decades, it's better than others. What sucks about anxiety is it really makes you believe things that are unbelievable. It makes you believe that the world is crashing down on you, or that you may not be breathing, or that you may be having a health emergency, or that, in my case, somebody is going to shut the gravity off. Boy, I hope that made you laugh, because it's made my counselors laugh. Anxiety sucks, but yet it's another common phenomena for us as human beings. Why is that? Why does anxiety exist? Is it something that we've done to ourselves? Where are those people who know how to let it roll off their back? Come teach me your ways, O sage one. So, flipping the script, and looking at those issues that bind us all together, the living, the dying, the moments in between. It doesn't mean that they are going to be happy or that somehow magically we're all going to be happy. We're going to live with those anxious moments, those moments that depress us, those moments that confuse us, those moments that make us hate, truly hate existence. And the very next day make us want to say that I'm so glad I lived to see another morning. I don't know, my friends. This is a tough conversation for you to have with yourself, with your loved ones. Be aware. You know, coincidentally, this episode is being recorded on World Mental Health Awareness Day, October 10th. I have seen so many people admit their struggle, that it's inspiring, as it should be. But know this, your struggles do not define you. Your struggles are a part of your story. They are not your story. And it's my hope that as we continue this journey together in my sharing, and maybe in your sharing, maybe you have an art to letting go that you need to share. And I would encourage you to do so. I cannot wait to finally let it all go. The strength to do so would be pretty amazing. Until our time together next time, I'm James Steensma. This is The Art of Letting Go. Hey friends, it's James. You know, we all have moments where we're feeling overly anxious or even depressed about situations of life and death. And it's okay to have those moments as long as we don't let them get the better of us. So, in those moments when you feel like you need to talk to someone, just pick up your phone and text 741-741. That's the crisis text line, and they will set you up with someone who will text you right back and make sure that you're not going through those situations alone. Do yourself a favor, and do me the favor. Remember that in the art of letting go, we have to understand that sometimes we cannot do it alone. See you next time.